Okay, welcome back. Now, there used to be a very big story, and it actually is directly related to what's going on with human beings now and the terrible weapons that are deployed against them. Morgellons, you remember the story, I think many of you. And if you were with us back in the day, Cliff Mickelson, a Morgellons victim, was a routine guest on the program along with Jan Smith. We covered this thing so thoroughly, and it was just a very alarming, rather disgusting situation. And Cliff is watching to this day what's been going on with the COVID bioweapons, either the virus that was released or the injection, which has killed so many people already. And some people are trying to say that there are some connections, correlations between Morgellons and the COVID issue. And I'm not sure I agree at all, but it doesn't matter because they do things to us all the time that can manifest in an infinite number of ways. So let's say hello to Cliff. Welcome back, friend. How are you?
Great, Jeff. And as always, it's great to hear you and to share some time with you on the program.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure indeed. Cliff visited my home one time, in fact. And that was quite an interesting story. That was when the History Channel was going to... the History Channel, right? I got the right channel? I think it is.
Yes. It was History Channel, and they actually did do a program. And it came out fairly well, considering it was the History Channel. And, that was actually a really interesting time.
Yeah. All right, now... Where are we right now, Cliff, with Morgellons? Is it still around? And we actually forecasted it would be part of the environment probably from now on, but we didn't have proof. Is it still around? And if it is, and I know it is, but at what level is it compared to what it used to be? Where is it now, Morgellons?
Well, it is still around, and... It's around on steroids. It has never gone away. It's only slowly continued to actually afflict more and more people.
We called that. We did forecast that back in the day.
Yes.
We did.
Absolutely.
I mean, you were right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. No, and thanks to your program, Jeff, we were able to reach a lot of people and wake them up to what was going on. And as a result, a lot of them reached out to me, reached out to Jan at the time, and helped us to collate our archives and to develop the files that we were able to develop in order to track the progress of this disease, of this affliction, as it were. But yeah, it's still around, and it's not going anywhere in the immediate future. When we talk about the thing with COVID, of course, Morgellons has been deliberately... how do I put this? It's been deliberately squashed by powers that be. And then, of course, when the COVID thing came along, it dropped right off the planet as far as getting any media attention. But it always seemed to me to be kind of a prototype, kind of a dry run for some of the things that they've done since then.
Yeah.
And, it's a bioengineered weapon. And
it is.
Yeah. And it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
When we were talking about the idea that it was now endemic to the human species, it was part of the landscape, and it was going to be here. I always hoped, and I'm sure you did too, that it wouldn't be, but it is. And people still... We don't know exactly on which hook to hang it. Have you come up with any... Well, the usual suspects, but anybody in particular that you can point to, and what the whole program was about, to plant something like this in the environment that would always be here among human beings?
Right.
Who did it? Who done it?
I've kind of gone back and forth because we don't really have any concrete proof, but it always struck me as being an extremely high-powered operation that was backed by an incredible amount of money and power. Because, of course, anytime we tried to reach out to the mainstream on this subject, we were immediately hammered down. And
right.
It didn't matter what you did, you got hammered. It seemed to me to be a case of, for instance, what happened with the Lyme, with the chronic Lyme disease. It's something that got was deliberately released, in my opinion. And
sure.
Then they just sat back and decided, well, we're going to watch and see how this goes, and we're just going to chronicle it. It's another example of the work of just demons. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, they're satanic. There's no question about it. Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah, it's demon-try at its best. And, of course, you know, we still have this, Jeff. I mean, I'm still cataloging cases. I'm still collating data. People still contact me and say, oh, my gosh, I've got this. I've read your articles, and I just don't know what to do. And so many people are just, when they get this, they're terrified, and they're just totally at a loss. And, you know, I'm glad that at least through the aegis of your program and some of the other things that we were able to do, we did establish a media base out there that people could reference. So as more and more people are afflicted by this thing, they are able to reach out and at least find some kind of solace, if you will. There is no cure. So people that say they've got the magic bullet for this are either lying or they're...
wrong. No.
Yeah, they're wrong. They're definitely wrong. But I would say to all Morgellon sufferers out there, you know, they just need to reach out, realize they're not alone, and realize that there are others that are experiencing the same thing. We're all in this together, and we will persevere.
That's a wonderful summation, and I think you pretty much, you and Jan would say the same thing back in the day. We did over 50 programs on Morgellons, 2-hour programs, 3-hour programs, lots and lots of pictures and images to try to help people understand that what they were going through, and as horrible as it was also being suffered quietly by a lot of other people. They were afflicted with it. And I guess the other thing, I'm trying to find, there it is. Let me see here. Where are these? Okay. If you go down on the right side of the page, way down, if you happen to have Morgellons or know somebody who does and want the real good data, that we really put it out there. I'm very proud of what you and Jan and we were able to accomplish. Look for Jan Smith, America's greatest Morgellons researcher. And there's a little picture of a little cottage that Jan drew. You'll see it. It's got blue sky with chemtrails in it. It's a little cottage with a white on the, and then a colored roofs. And then third item down is Jeff, Jan Smith, and Cliff Mickelson radio programs. And if you open that page, it's a huge archive of, there's 32 programs on that page alone. So they're there, and you can go listen to them and learn. They're all highly educational. Time hasn't been unfair to them at all. It's as current then as it is now, basically. We really don't know exactly what it is, what caused it. But we know the symptoms. We know what it produces in the body. It's doing the same thing now, I guess. Or has there been anything new that I'm not aware of in terms of types of symptoms that pop up?
Yeah, no, it's doing the same thing. And it actually has the same kind of MO. It starts out really, really ferocious, and then it just kind of levels out after a while. But the thing we've never been able to figure out, a couple of things. Number one, because we were always shut out or blocked from getting any mainstream assistance as far as research, we were never able to really identify some of the more important aspects of this thing so that we could have some kind of an idea of a way to develop a base to analyze what was happening to it.
Yes, yes.
But, I mean, because we were definitely, every time we tried to make a move, we were blocked, which always led me to say, as I've said often on the program here, that, you know, there's some organization with an incredible amount of power that was had an interest in making sure that Morgellons was never, ever allowed to see the light of day, as far as in the mainstream goes.
I agree. It was probably DARPA and CIA, or certainly one of them, and they were involved.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going with this too, Jeff. DARPA, CIA, there's some dark forces involved, and I do mean dark forces. But you know, the work that Jan did was phenomenal. And when back in the day when we were doing the shows, we wouldn't have been able to be as successful as we were without the assistance that we received from you and your program, because you actually gave us a platform to bring this to the world. And there were very few other platforms that did that for us. So actually, I think that the RENS program probably has the world's best library and the best resources on Morgellons that are out there anywhere. So people can check your files and see that.
Yeah, again, it's on the right-hand side. If you scroll down, look for Jan Smith. It's quite a ways down. You'll find it. And then look for that third link. Our radio programs, they're all there, MP3s. And there are 32 in that particular group. There are others, but that's the meat of it right there. We got to a point where there really wasn't much new to report because we were blocked. We were doing our best to get through this and get help from qualified people who wouldn't laugh at it. And a lot of people did. They just said, it's psychosomatic. But it wasn't anything but. And it's still there. It's still there.
Yeah. No, it's as real as the day is long. And it's interesting, though. I mean, it really was a dry run for COVID. I mean, when you see the way that these people during the COVID farce, the way that they gaslit others who didn't follow the official line, and the way that people were shut down and just basically abused for not following the official dogma on COVID. It's the same thing that happened to Morgellons. It's almost like it was a dry run to see how to get it set up. And when you think about it, I mean, there's been a number of these kinds of things happening. And they're happening with more and more frequency. And we're just, I just feel like we're part of the process in March to the big one.
Well, I think you're right. I don't know how else to view it. They knew what they were doing, and they released it, and they watched, and they studied the psychology of the people who got it. They studied how the mainstream media would seed stories or not seed stories and how people would react. They learned a lot from that. It was a big dry run. I concur. Now, what we know is that about 81% of America has taken the bioweapon injection. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8. Who knows? Some people have 9 shots now and they're still alive. Many aren't still alive. But it seems to me that all those people have immediately a destroyed or largely destroyed immune system. And I'm wondering if you've come across any stories about a morgue who might have taken the injection. I can't imagine many of them doing it, but taking the COVID injection, the bioweapon, and having had their immune systems crash or be destroyed, and have Morgellons' symptoms come back stronger after the shot.
Well,
shot.
as we do know, a lot of other afflictions do come back on steroids when you get that COVID shot. People with cancer that were in remission that come back with and are dead within 3 months. You name it. I mean, all kinds of things. It's interesting though with Morgellons because most Morgellons victims are already they've been once burned, twice wise. They didn't jump in the fire again.
No, I wouldn't think they did. That's why I qualified what I said. Yeah, if any of them took it. Maybe some did because of pressure, duress. They had to for their jobs, mandate and all that. But I don't, those people suffered plenty. plenty. You didn't need any more.
But, you know, you bring up a really interesting point. I think that that's something, and I haven't really focused on that, but I really like that point that you're bringing up. And I think it needs to be investigated. I'm going to check into that a little bit more to see if I can find some of my contacts, people that I know that did take that. I didn't associate with people that were getting the, that would take the injection. They were kind of not on my social list, as it were.
Yeah, understood.
So I didn't really have a lot of,
Well, there probably were some. There must have been some, we call them Morgies, but whatever, Morgellons victims who did have to take one or more shots. There are some out there. How to get in touch with them, I don't know. If any of you qualify and you'd like to talk to Cliff, contact me. There's no problem there. I'll get it right, your information right over to Cliff. But we'd like to know. I'm concerned that 80% of America, and that's what, 275 million, thereabout, 280 million, are shot up, and their immune systems are severely compromised, terribly compromised. And if they do decide to release a tweaked H5N1 bird flu with a high case fatality rate, it's going to go through the vaxxed like a power lawnmower on a lawn. It'll just knock them out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you would think with a reduced immune system that some of them, a lot of them, may actually have contracted Morgellons, you know, because I'm telling you, it's a nasty, affliction. It does affect people. It affects people differently, so it's hard to say.
Right. Morgellons is, or is it not, at this point in your mind, a sheddable disease? Can it be spread person to person? I just want to go up front formally with this. I know the answer, but go ahead and tell us what you think.
Yes, it is, but it's interesting because it's not all people that you. We've had cases of families where one person has it and nobody else seems to get it. But you do shed. Morgellons is shed. You can go into any room where a Morgellons victim has been, and you will find evidence of Morgellons. Anywhere, and there's constant shedding. The body, the body's constantly shedding those fibers. And other items.
You can take a piece of tape, Scotch tape, for example, or whatever, clear tape, put it on any windowsill, any horizontal area where a Morgellons victim lives or has been spending time, and you'll find fibers. They just shed.
Tons of them. Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, I still have the same thing happening to me. It's been so many years, and, I mean, it doesn't matter wherever I go. If I and I do check all the time. If I wipe something and then I check it with my pen power, I'll see fibers all over the place, you know. So Morgellons victims shed all the time. The question is, how does that contact other people, and in what ways do they become susceptible to getting it? Right. We've had people that didn't live with, that lived with Morgellons victims and never got it, or at least never got the overt symptoms. And then we've had whole families that one person got it, and within a year, everybody was ill. So it's kind of an interesting thing, and that's another area that we've just never had the ability to research enough to be able to clarify it.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Did you ever find out for sure what happened to Jan?
Oh, Jeff, I don't know. I wish I knew. I mean, I wish I had the means to fly back to where she lives and actually go to the town and look and try to find out, because it has been such a dead end, and it's really a tragedy because she was such a gift to the Morgellons community. Her research is irreplaceable, and we lost a lot of it, unfortunately, as you know. Even in the Wayback Machine, I haven't been able to find a lot of it. But no, since you and I talked the last time, I have heard absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Jan Smith was a treasure. She had Morgellons. She used her body as a living laboratory. She was constantly extracting fibers and other astonishing things from skin lesions, putting them under her microscope, taking video and still images of them, posting that. Her website was just an incredible compilation of critically important information about Morgellons, and she just kind of disappeared. We don't know what happened to her. I would speak to her often, and Cliff would too, and we just don't know. Just don't know.
Jan and I were in touch all the time, and then we kind of, I don't know, just one day she just stopped communicating, and I don't know if she had maybe died or if something, what on earth ever happened with her, but, you know, whatever it was really odd. She was very ill. She had this in her knees. She had this in all through her bones, and it was everywhere. And it's possible that, you know, that maybe it got the better of her. I just don't know.
We may have lost her, and that's actually I don't like to think about it, but I'm afraid that's probably what happened. Here's a story about Jan Smith. Jan Smith had a bad knee. In fact, she had two bad knees. She went in to have one knee replaced, and they did it. And after the surgery, the surgeon came in and talked to her, and she told this story. I think it's probably in one of the programs on that site, that big compendium that I mentioned, you can find on the right column. He said, "Do you have any idea of what might have caused fibers to be inside your knee joint?" And I'm not sure. I think he showed her pictures, but she had no idea. Of course, she did have an idea because she had Morgellons before she went in for the surgery, but didn't say anything. She needed the surgery, so she was quiet. Anyway, the surgeon came in and said, "Do you have any ideas?" She said, "No, I don't." She played dumb. Okay. She had the second knee done. What was it, about 6 months later, something like that? 6, 8, 9 months?
Yeah, it was about 6 months later. It was so funny. Yeah.
And she went in, and the same surgeon did it, and they had put her in an isolated OR, and they all had moon suits on when they were doing the surgery. That's how afraid they were of these fibers. They watched them. They knew what was going on. They didn't know it was necessarily Morgellons per se because it was so very early, but they were freaked out. So she had second knee done.
Yeah, they all were there in hazmat suits. I mean,
that's
you
right.
know, and they'd apparently done a little bit of enough research to find out that it wasn't a psychosomatic because they were sure as heck spent some money on hazmat.
Yes, they did. Now, that was kind of amusing. So anyway, that we had so many people on the program. I remember the one gentleman from Las Vegas talking about his suffering and all the trauma he had gone through because of these horrible things coming out of his skin. And, you know, they itch. You've got nerves all over the place, and these things are moving around, and they're causing an itch sensation, among other things. And some of the items that Jan Smith pulled out of her own body and validated and documented with her microscope. Her microscopy was the best in the world in this field. She was doing incredible work. I mean,
Absolutely.
Some of these things, I'll never forget one. If you can imagine, there's a little thing where you fold up paper and it makes like a little star that'll open up. It'll close. And there are four or five, like, leaves to it, and you can open it up and put a message in there as like a little joke. Anyway, she pulled something out of her body that was like that, but it was made of apparently some kind of metallic material. And when you opened up, and she would open these things up, she had very good tools, microscopic type of tools that you work with, microscopy, and she opened it up, and it was glowing on the inside, yellow, glowing, iridescent yellow. Not just iridescent in the sense that it was like a dial on a watch that they used to put the green stuff on. I forget what it was. Anyway, it was actually powered by the body, apparently. It took power from the body, and it was glowing inside. And I might have a picture of that up there. I don't know. But there were many different kinds of things, not just fibers.
Well, that was the phenomenal thing. And, you know, some of the things that she discovered along those lines, actually, we were able to verify with further research. There was actually some of that glowing that they're talking about. When you have some of the hairs, there's a relationship between the fibers and hair follicles. They actually would wrap around hair follicles sometimes. And
displace them.
Yes. And they would become diseased and swollen and just kind of gooey and goopy and just black and just all kinds of, but they would glow. It was the darndest thing. They would, and they still do, obviously. They would glow. They would have a luminescence to them. When you remove them, they would continue to have that luminescence for 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, whatever it was some very advanced, at the time, this is 20 years ago, technology. And it was turned loose in the human body, and they watched it. They were collecting data all the time. Believe that. They listened to all of our programs, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, because anytime we posted something that was... might look like it would get some traction, it immediately got attention that would put the hammer on it, you know. So they were watching.
Yes.
They were watching. They were definitely monitoring and measuring. They still are.
Oh yeah. Let's see here. I might have found it. Let me look. Hold on just a second. There's so many things. If any of you are interested, and I hope most all of you are, go down to that Jan Smith. Do I have the one I'm talking about? Yes, I do. It's there. You'll see it. A little bit more. I was lucky to find these on the Wayback Machine from her site and pull them up. I'd like you to go look at the incredible diversity of constructions that came out of her body. If you look, there are only six links under Jan Smith, America's Greatest Morgellons Researcher. The third one, again, is Jeff, Jan, and Cliff radio programs. There are 30-some programs there. Morgellons, plaques, metallics, and hexagons is the next link. That's certainly one you want to go take a look at. That'll show you the astonishing diversity of things that were coming out of people's skin and other areas as well.
And they still do to this very day. Jan was she was so far ahead of time by cataloging this stuff, and it was such a gift to the Morgellons community that she did that, and that we have that stuff available for us. I would write about all this stuff, but there's nothing like seeing it. You know, she would actually photograph it and do the work to make it visible to everybody, and then you would post it, and there it was for the whole world to see. And some amazing stuff.
They've pretty well left alone. Take a look at all the links there. Actually, the next link down, just one of Jan's videos of a powered nano machine taken from a lesion on her body. I referred to them as nano. Nano is incredibly small, but these things were constructed from a very small, I think, baseline on up. So I think that there is nano in them. I always did. And I think that you'll find that is very probably correct when you look at them. There's some Jan Smith's videos. I'm trying to look at these. I've got six videos. Some were deleted after I posted them. I remember that. But there may be maybe six or eight of them that are still there. Anyhow, that's a big resource for any of you with Morgellons who didn't know about Jan and Cliff and the work that we did so long ago. But it's all documented there to the best of my ability. And it's a tribute to Jan Smith, wherever she is. We really we miss her, and we hope that things are, again, wherever she is, we hope that they're fine.
Absolutely. And one thing I would say to our listeners tonight, Jeff, is that if you're listening and you're going, well, I wonder if I have this, or how do I detect this? How do I know if I'm in an environment where these things, the evidence of it can be found? It's actually not that difficult to go in, like you were saying earlier, find a flat surface in your bathroom, or find a flat surface in when you go to a hotel room, in the windowsill, and anywhere along electrical light sockets. That was another electrical light things. And just wipe the Kleenex along there, and then look at it with a 10-power loop, jeweler's loop, and you'll see, if you start seeing lots of black, blue, and red fibers and some white, then you're looking at more gallons.
Just takes 10 power, and that's easy to come up with. So, yes, they're there. I wonder how far and wide it did make its way through the populace. We'll never know, but your sense on that? Fairly common? One out of 1,000? One out of 100,000? What kind of a ratio
closer
would
to
you
one
get?
Out of, closer to one out of 10,000, maybe one out of 1,000. I think, you know, it's a lot more common than people think. They just don't know what to look for. They don't, they're ignorant because they don't know what it is. It could be in front of their faces and they wouldn't see it. Like I've shared in the past, when I go to hotels and the first thing I do is I check the rooms, and I almost always find evidence of more gallons. So it's everywhere, you know.
Well, one out of 1,000 sounds like a fairly reasonable projection then.
Yeah, I think so. You can find it. I mean, you wipe down the back of a toilet seat, you wipe down a windowsill, and then you just look at it with your 10-power loop. You're going to see the evidence of its presence.
Well, I've seen these fibers. I knew somebody who had Morgellons, and I've seen them. I've seen them move. I've seen them, and they're real. A lot of people were shut down by their doctors. The doctors don't know now. I don't think the doctors ever came fully on board with this. I think they probably know less about it now than they did 20 years ago in some cases. At least the familiarity with the name and the general symptomology of it. But it's bad. It's quite real.
Right. And what happened was the PSYOP that was designed to make everybody, all the doctors anyway, think that if you showed up with something that you said was Morgellons, they would say, well, you're crazy. That PSYOP was so successful that a lot of people just quit going to their doctors. They quit talking to their doctors. They completely just cut their doctor out of the loop. There were some doctors who did get on board, but they were marginalized, and they still are marginalized. Some of them actually came close to losing their licenses for pursuing this subject. That sounds just like what happened with COVID. You know, some of them said, yeah, try ivermectin, and they immediately were on charges. So most doctors, they may know about it, but they've already been poisoned in their mind as far as, this person is crazy, or this person is imagining.
You know what the traditional diagnosis was for people who would go in saying, there are things crawling in my skin, I they're coming out of my skin, I've got fibers, and of course the fibers were viewable by a doctor, but the doctors just didn't want to follow it. They called it contamination from polyester fabrics and all kinds of things that they would go to rather than actual powered fibers, and these fibers are powered by something, probably the body's own electrical circuit or electrical potential. They would call people who had gone in with Morgellons symptoms victims of DP, delusional parasitosis. That's what they, yes, that's what they call them. Delusional parasitosis.
It's still there, and that's one of them. If that particular PSYOP was so effective that it just shut most people down from even communicating with their doctors. And then, of course, it blocked off the doctors from talking with their patients in a humane and open-minded way. So you ended up with nothing. You weren't able to get anywhere. So you ended up having to self-diagnose, self-medicate, self-cure, self-maintain. The medical community was not part of the equation.
Here's a little fun thing. What triggers delusional parasitosis? And here's what it says. Some cases link to other conditions that create a chemical imbalance in the brain. As a result, researchers think that abnormal levels of dopamine can contribute to delusional parasitosis. In addition, the misuse of drugs can also cause the itching, crawling sensation that people experience with delusional parasitosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was another way they slammed it. They slammed Morgan Allen's victims, was to say, oh, you must be using drugs,
Yeah,
you must
correct.
Be high.
Sickening.
It was sickening. It was the most cynical, abusive. I just lack adjectives to describe how despicable.
Well, we're seeing it now. Morgellons victims, COVID bioweapon victims who are beginning to generate and show symptoms that are often horrifically miserable. They're just, people wish they were dead. They're that bad. These are vax-injured people, so-called vax. They're not vax at all. We know that. So, it's the same kind of thing. They played all this together in their psychological profiles of people. They knew, damn it. Here's another one. How do you stop delusional parasitosis? Antipsychotics. A healthcare provider may prescribe a low-dose antipsychotic medication, such as blah, 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 and blah, if you are willing. Cognitive behavioral therapy is another one. Cognitive behavioral therapy. This form of talk therapy aims to change how you view a situation or a stressor. You see, it's the same thing.
This is what they were doing to us. Just relentlessly. You were, and I know people that were prescribed antipsychotics, and then they would, contact the family and say, well, your dad or your mom or your daughter, you need to be careful around them. They have some issues and they need to take their medicine. And so not only are you marginalized at the doctor's office, you're marginalized at home. And it's just a horrible psyop, just horrible.
I could not agree more. We have the same kind of tools at work against us by them now. They learned. They watched, they learned. And, COVID-19 is what it is. And there was MERS, M-E-R-S, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, which was another test. They've tested so many things on the general public. And then it was SARS-1, and now it's SARS-2, SARS-CoV-2.
Right.
It's all progressive, and it's very evil.
Evil is an understatement, I believe, Jeff. And, it's interesting because they've developed the protocols now to manage it, to manage the way that they control the discussion on it. And they are able to...
Oh, yeah.
To manipulate the entire perception of what's going on. And people just don't see it.
No.
They just don't see it.
No, they don't. When you have an 80%+ rate of people accepting these untested, unproven injections, and people have died now, and so many people are literally bedbound, bedridden, disabled, and all manners of degrees of symptoms This is a catastrophe. It's the greatest crime, I think, ever committed against humanity, period. I think billions Absolutely. Are going to die from this.
Absolutely. Yeah, and millions already have died, and more are going to die. And the insidiousness of this whole thing, in particular when we're dealing with COVID, is that you can't really say, oh, because I had my COVID shot, I got Barr's syndrome, or my cancer came back. They're going to say, well, prove it, you know. And right. But you know that it's destroyed your body, it's destroyed your immune system, and any predilection you might have had for something, it's going to come back and get you.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heart attacks. I mean, how many people have fell over dead with a heart attack since 2020? You know, I mean, just
we're getting
on and on.
Teenagers now, heart attack deaths. Teenagers
oh, yeah.
with all kinds of problems. And it's just a given, if you took that shot, whether you have symptoms or not in the first year or two or three, if it was a viable shot, you're going to get symptoms because it's a genetic change to your body. It's they call it therapy, gene therapy. What a ludicrous use of the term therapy. It's nothing therapeutic at all, except in the negative sense. But it's
right.
it's bad. It's bad.
Well, it's more of the same gaslighting that they're so good at applying on just about everything else that
yes.
they use to affect with.
And,
I mean, this is what they did to us with Morgellons, the same thing.
Yeah, right. They're masters at mass mind manipulation and control. They know exactly what to do. And they've actually created, I think, a more accessible target being us by the dumbing down of people via the education system and the mainstream media and now the alt media, which is just as screwed up as the mainstream media, but on the other side of the coin. And I don't
yeah.
know how you see it, but I see frauds and phonies all over the place, or ego trippers with their little green screen setups, and everybody is now a talk show host or a podcaster. It's
right.
awful.
Right, and the noise is deafening, actually, and it becomes, you get to the point where you feel like you're inside of a washing machine. You don't know which way is up, which way is down. All you know is
no,
you're getting
true.
A crap beat.
Very
yeah.
true. Very, it's difficult, because a lot of people think when they, and it's an understandable reflex, when I'm going to the alt-news world, I'm going to find out the truth. No. Your chances are you're going to be misled six ways from Sunday. They own it. In a way, the alt news world is, I think, more treacherous than the mainstream media. You know what's coming out of that, but you can't
right.
tell with the alt news world because it's such a diabolical mixture of truth, reality, and fiction, and it's
right.
very dangerous. You got to be real careful with it. Didn't used to be so bad, but it's bad now.
No, and especially in the last 10 years, 5 years in
Correct.
Particular, I mean, this is a deliberate attempt to subvert it anyway and to actually, you know, just like the CIA did with years and years past where they put people on board with all of the major media publications, they're doing the same thing now. They're working the same kind of mojo with the Internet. And you just don't know. I mean, unless you really do your research and you really think for yourself and you are able to critically think and critically judge,
right.
if you go in there and you blindly accept what you're hearing from any media, you're going to have a problem.
You know, you're really taken out of the hunt at that point. And as soon as you think
yeah.
you've found the truth or the answer, you're gone. They got
yeah.
you right where they want you. No, it's really bad.
It's kind of funny. I once heard, I once saw a quote. I always liked this quote, and it said, "The only truth is none of us really know the truth."
I won't argue with that. No, the worst thing you can do is find the truth and stop looking.
Yes, very well said. Exactly.
Yeah, they're not. They're not going to give the truth. Everything is controlled. I'm not talking about the minutia, but all the macro stuff. Okay? That's all controlled. They will not let things find their own level. It's all directed. This whole year has been scripted out. Whatever they have planned between now and the so-called election is going to be very wild and chaotic, I think. I don't know how else to view it. It's going to be a mess. The idea is to completely shake this country down to what's left of its foundations, and not much left. We have a government that is no longer representative of the people, no longer guardian of the Constitution. We don't have a government. We have a regime, and it's a communist regime. And that's the truth. Sad truth.
And the worst part is that it's a technocratic communist regime.
Well said.
We're in so much trouble. People just need to stick their head up and figure out what the heck is going on. I'm telling you, Jeff, we have got... it's like we're sitting on a velvet... on a velvet glove, and underneath that velvet glove is an iron fist, and at any moment it could just close, you know. And we think we're in Fat City because we're sitting on velvet, but we don't realize that there's an iron fist underneath it. And there's an evil loose in this world that defies description.
I'm with you 100%. When they declared war on children and childhood and innocence, you knew who was at the controls. It's that guy with the horns on his head. No, this is satanic all the way. No halfway.
Yeah, it really is.
They're killing us. I think they've already taken out 10% of the American population in the last 3.5 years with these shots and with the virus, highly communicable virus, which will also spawn the spike protein in the body. And if you think in a period of 4 years you'd notice 1 out of 10 people gone, I don't think you would. Maybe you would, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't notice that at all. Spread out over 4 years, 3.5 years, no. I wouldn't notice it.
Chalk it up to just normal. Yeah, you would chalk it up to just being overwhelmed type of a deal.
Right.
You know,
and then ask...
There's a lot of...
Ask people you know, do you know anybody who's taken the shot and had a negative reaction to it or has gotten vax injured? You got to be careful who you ask, but most of the time you're going to find people that say, well, yeah, we think so, or they will have dismissed it because they don't want to go there. They'll say, no, nobody. You know, two aunts and an uncle died of cancer. Grandpa and grandma died suddenly of heart attacks. I don't know anybody, so it's a tough thing to do, but this is happening all the time. And if you don't believe it, go listen to your local fire department paramedic dispatch. You can do it on the internet. Just tune. You can find out how to do it online. I forget the location, but you can listen to what they're being called out on. Medical emergency, fall, seizure. These are common, and other things as well they don't even go into. But this is very, very dangerous out there now. Just be careful. That's all I can say. And if you do have Morgellons, do know that you're not alone. It's still around, and it's being transmitted. However it's being transmitted, probably person to person, I would say so, among other ways, and it's not going away. It became part of the landscape. Not a surprise to us.
I would say also to follow up on that, Jeff, is that if anyone listening today on the program does take the time to kind of look around and see if they can find evidence of it in their environment or in their world, their house, their home, their family, I would like to know about it, and I would like to know what they find, if it's just a passive encounter with just, looking here, here's fibers on the paper, or if maybe somebody in their family has been suffering from something odd or unusual, lesions that don't heal, weird kind of skin issues, rashes, itching where you scratch and you start to bleed. If anybody out there has that going on, I'd like to know about that too, because that kind of information is really important for us to collate.
Do you have you could write to me at Contact Rents. Our address is on the homepage, and I'll make sure that Cliff gets it. And by all means, go down to that Jan Smith, America's Greatest Morgellons Researcher. You'll see it on the right side, features. It's way down, about three-fourths of the way down. And look at those links, especially the third link, Morgellons, Plaques, Metallics, and Hexagons, and see some of the things that are coming out of Morgellons victims' bodies. Just take a look. They're all there. Cliff, thank you. It's great to connect with you again, my friend. I'll be here, and we'll stay in touch.
Absolutely, Jeff. Great visiting with you, and look forward to talking with you again.
Okay. Thanks, Cliff. Good night. Be well.
Good night.
Boy, did we do some work back in the day. And God bless Jan Smith, wherever she is. Okay, that's it for tonight. Back with you tomorrow on Wednesday already. Be safe, and we'll talk then.